relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Is back in studio, my co-host for the Battle for 1600. We're not wearing earphones. We're not wearing headphones. It's weird, but
we're just
okay.
Relaxing.
We're just and you're like this is tactical Baron. You're casual.
Yes.
You can be, you know, serious but also comfortable.
I'm nimble for battle.
You're ready. He's ready for battle. 39 days to go as we record this. How do we get here?
What? Hold on. We need to know what number is this
of episode?
Of episode
34. 34.
It's kind of forward.
That's not bad.
34 is this week. What number is it going to be the day after President Trump wins
the
election?
4 or 5 plus. So it's going to be.
Let's look at it. I'll tell you right now. 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40.
Nice number.
That's a nice even number. We're going to win.
You're in a good mood.
It's going to be great. I am in a good mood. I'm feeling great about things. I'm feeling great about the polls.
You asked me what we should talk about today.
Yes.
You know something happened between last podcast and this one?
What? Did I get another title?
RBG.
Oh.
We forgot. Life is so insane. We didn't know what to
talk. I thought that was like a year ago.
I know. It's insanity.
Well, listen, we have to say this. God rest her soul.
Right.
Rest in peace. Truly, a trailblazer in America. Completely disagree everything she did. Everything, all her positions, total disagreement. But I let go what the president said. And I thought the president's response.
That in spontaneous when they told him. Was,
exactly.
That was Donald Trump. That was the president.
That's the person we know. Yeah. Off the cuff.
What an amazing life.
Exactly.
Whether you agreed or not, what an amazing life. Yeah,
even the hand gestures right away. It was him.
It was authentic.
It was exactly who he is. He didn't need a teleprompter to tell him what to say. Didn't need some staffer to write it. That's who he is. You know, the interesting thing about the world we live in is that there's known unknowns and unknown unknowns.
Oh, you're going to go Rumsfeld on me now.
You know? And this was I'd say a known unknown, right? I mean, you always think that something could happen in terms of the Supreme Court.
Three in the first term. That hasn't happened since Nixon, Boris.
Is that right?
I know you're the historian. Nixon was the last one 50 years ago who had three in his first term, and Reagan had three in his second term.
Second term.
Yeah.
So
that's history.
And Reagan was Kennedy, O'Connor.
O'Connor.
And I think Kennedy's the one that appointed Rehnquist.
And Scalia.
And Scalia.
Scalia.
And then Rehnquist was elevated to be chief under Reagan. It's a fascinating time.
And if we do our part and he wins, he could get 2 more. That could be 5.
At this point, so...
I mean, there are rumors that the great Clarence Thomas is ready to retire. There are rumors. Could be 1 more.
I mean, for all you know, nobody expected Souter to retire when he did.
No.
You know, Breyer... I mean, who else could leave?
And how important is this that we don't have 4-4... after the election in the Supreme
Court.
Cannot
be 4-4. Cannot be 4-4 after the election. It has to be... The court has to be...
Jonathan Turley even said that.
The court has to be at full tilt. It has to be.
Right.
Because if it is not, that...
Everything's deadlocked.
Everything's deadlocked. It's a huge problem. It's a huge problem. So, you know, Breyer could be next to leave. Leave healthy. Leave.
Yes.
To retire.
Right.
But let's talk about what we have now. It's... This was a momentous moment, and actually, I'll tell you a personal story. So I'm Jewish, and Justice Ginsburg obviously was Jewish, and I was at Rosh Hashanah services on Friday
New Year celebration
with Rabbi Levi Shemtov over at Chabad.
I know Rabbi Shemtov.
Shemtov's great.
Yeah, yeah.
Love Rabbi Shemtov. So who's a really true man of the cloth, wonderful, thoughtful, a really interesting man with an interesting family story, too. His great-grandfather was the head rabbi of, I believe, then Petrograd.
Wow.
Back in Petersburg. I think in pre-Soviet days. So I was there at Chabad right there. You know where it is by DuPont Circle. And I have an admission to make. I have a confession. I'm not Catholic. I have to confess.
Did
to
you
something.
Have your phone on?
I made a picture of my phone. I made a picture of my phone during the services. Oh no, Rabbi! I'm so sorry. I picked up my phone and it came across, and I was shocked. And they do say that this was Shabbat and Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
For a Jewish person to pass on Shabbat Rosh Hashanah, you know him as a tzaddik, which is a true person, a holy person, a special person. Yes. So and we send our love to the family of Justice Ginsburg. And
did you see what that Reformed synagogue in New York did?
Something annoying.
Instead of reading the Torah, they read speeches by Beit Ginsburg in the synagogue. A woman and a man.
Well,
it was a Jewish Orthodox friend sent it to me.
As the co-chair of Jewish Voices for Trump, I will something I'm honored to be a point person of Jewish outreach. Thank you. I will tell you that I'm focused on reaching out to all denominations of Jews, and full stop. We have amazing backing for the president from the Orthodox community. Strong from
more than 90%.
More than 90% strong from conservative, and I hope our friends from Reform. Our friends from the Reformed Jewish community get sanity and stop doing things like that, and understand that religion is not about politics. Religion is about something that's much bigger than politics. Religion is about something much bigger than the Supreme Court. You know that, I believe, not as much of a religious scholar as you are, but I believe the first commandment is that I am your only God.
No false idols.
And to me. Reading,
it's weird.
I think the first commandment just was broke, but I don't know the specifics. I'm not going to judge.
No, but as a Catholic, it would be like for me, if I were a priest, to be reading Ronald Reagan's speeches at Mass
right.
on Sunday. It's just inappropriate.
You would get absolutely tarred and feathered.
And don't forget church and state. Oh, the sacred cow of the left.
Oh,
church and state. What has the Supreme Court got to do with the temple?
So
I'm going to send you the video.
Send me the video.
You keep talking. Send me the video.
So send our condolences. Send our thoughts.
But
and
we've
prayers
got to have to the, nine
to the family of Justice Ginsburg with respect. You know, the left has been pushing this narrative. Oh well, she had a dying wish. We have a constitution. We're not ruled in this country by dying wishes, by wills. Dying wishes is what the Soviet Union went on after Vladimir Lenin died. There was this talk of Lenin's last letter and what was it? Dying wishes. Who did he want to be the next ruler? And Joseph Stalin ended up killing everybody. So that's how I get. And that's what the left wants to do.
You've seen. I presume you're familiar with the Babylon Bee.
Yes.
Babylon Bee had this morning, it's a great article, Constitution to be replaced by list of Ginsburg's last wishes.
Right.
Well, it's illogical.
It's logical. We are a country, we have a constitution, we have a rule of law, we have a structure, we have a system. We cannot be ruled by dying wishes that are, frankly, hearsay.
Correct.
So,
and not only that, let's be clear, we played on the radio show America First 2 days ago, video of Associate Justice Ginsburg in 2015 saying that a president is elected for 4 years per term and his presidential powers don't disappear in the fourth year.
Right.
He should and can nominate Supreme Court justice, and that's Beta Ginsburg.
And listen, Obama nominated Merrick Garland.
Right.
He did it. He didn't have enough of a good relationship with the Senate, with the Republican Senate,
right.
to get it done. Back then, Majority Leader McConnell said it hasn't been since the 1880s that a Senate controlled by the opposing party, considered a nominee by a lame duck president. This is totally different than what we have now.
So these accusations of double standards on behalf of Mitch?
They're just a total joke. President Trump is in his first term of two terms, I strongly believe, as do you, of two terms. He's in the first term, and he's going to be nominating a justice, and we have to have the court at full clip. We have to have the court at nine justices. That's what it is. And you know what? We're on the podcast. We could say this. This is just the left and the Democrats' usual bitching and moaning and whining. This is what they do. Oh, woe is us. We are bad at winning elections. The American people don't really like us. We have crazy protesters who sit at tables with older people who are trying to have dinner and enjoy themselves. That's
intimidating
Americans. So BLM, Antifa, the Democrats, they're turning off Americans while wanting to scream and think that they're going to get their way.
Right,
those two will never compute.
So I wanted to have some fun with you, but let's get serious because you've already gone there. I need your analysis on the next 39 days as we record this. Oh, by the way, Eric, are you paying attention, Eric?
As always.
Good, because I have to share a little inside baseball. Eric is leaving the show because the administration needs him. That's a good excuse. That is the only excuse we will accept, okay? So I want to share that with all of our loyal listeners on the Battle for 1600. We wish you Godspeed. He'll be back, don't worry.
I want to say something here for a second. I do want to wish Eric Godspeed. Eric has been really tremendous to work with. He's a great member.
Don't say that. Go ahead.
He's been a great member of your team, and he's a good young guy who's going to go really far. And Eric, I want to wish you to keep that eagerness,
yes,
keep that excitement, and keep that strong support for the Trump agenda. God bless you. Make America great again.
Okay, good. Now his head won't fit through the door, but never mind. Eric, I have one last request as your boss for the next 24 hours. Can you do something for me?
Anything you ask.
Oh, there you go. I like that. We have a special request from one of our loyal listeners who texted me on our patreonmobile.com text line. He loves the Battle for 1600 podcast, and he always listens to it when he's at work on Saturday, but he needs it to drop earlier. Can we program that to drop by 8 a.m., not 11?
8 a.m. on Saturday.
All right. See, we are here to please.
That's what we're doing here.
Right? Every day.
We're just trying to make people happy.
Because we pay you so much to do this, Boris.
I'm getting the big bucks.
The big bucks. Another business guy. Hey, we could do that. We could have like a co-host Battle for Six. That could be your 48th title this year.
I think it's actually 62nd. Thank you very much.
My apologies.
Okay. Don't minimize my titles, okay?
All right, so serious business.
Yes.
This is the question before we talked about Eric and our listeners. 39 days to go as we record this.
Yes.
I need your perspective as a seasoned campaign official on multiple campaigns, former special assistant. I didn't do any of that stuff, did I? Former special assistant to the president, strategic advisor to the Trump campaign, co-chair of the Jewish outreach?
Jewish Voices for Trump.
Voices for Trump campaign element, and also the man who gives you every single day, or every week, breakfastwithboris.com. I need to ask you, the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg in a window which is long enough to hold hearings and get the next nominee confirmed, because she died 45 days before the election. Ruth Bader Ginsburg herself was confirmed 42 days after her nomination. The fastest, I think, was 18 days. So it's all possible. How does this, in your projection, affect the president and his campaign? Especially if we look at what happened yesterday in Kentucky. I'm not a political pro. You are. I'm a national security guy, now a radio guy. This is only good for the president because the left cannot control themselves.
Right.
Is that right? Is that oversimplifying it?
Even Megyn Kelly, who she's no huge fan of the president, tweeted out that video that I mentioned in St. Petersburg, Florida, I believe. Couples are sitting eating dinner. Protesters coming, sitting at their tables, disrupting them, intimidating them. And she said, thank you for continuing to make the case for why President Trump was going to be reelected.
Megyn Kelly?
Yeah. True. I'm paraphrasing, but restating what she said. But that was the point. That is what the left is doing with this, again, over-exaggeration, the whining, the screaming, the screeching.
Let's talk about the screeching. Let's talk about the screeching and the whining and the screaming. Shad, we didn't play it yesterday. We have this cut. Is it video? No, it's video. Is it Eric? Sorry, Eric. We have a montage of yesterday's Morning Joe with a former Republican congressman called Joe Scarborough, his wife, Mika Brzezinski, daughter of a Democrat national security advisor, and I don't know who he is, but a guy called Donny Deutsch. This is just a montage.
Donny Deutsch was like a thing in the 90s. I
think. As what? What was he?
Like a, he's a branding guru. I think he said about six shows.
Branding? What does he know about politics?
He said about six shows that MSNBC and they've all failed.
Okay, well, this is the great branding guru and Mika and Joe, just from one morning's episode. Talk about screeching, play cut.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I don't know. We won't call them fascist comments. Fascist. Fascism. Fascist. Call fascism. Fascism. Just fascist. Fascist.
Notions of fascism. Xenophobic. Racist. Demagogic. Racist. Sexist. Xenophobic. Autocratic. And fascistic. Donald Trump is a fascist.
Someone like a fascist or a tyrant or an autocrat.
Fascist rhetoric. Fascist language. Fascists.
I'm glad that you're starting talking about fascism.
Hitler. Right. Fascist rhetoric. He's talking the way fascists talk. Autocratic. Fascist. Nazi Germany. Before the rise of Hitler, fascist language.
To Hitler, fascist Hitler. Adolf Hitler.
Hitler, Hitler, well, Hitler, 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 but Hitler.
From what Adolf Hitler preached in the early 30s. Let's just say it once and for all.
So you're proud of your Jewish heritage.
I'm very proud.
You're now co-chair with the Trump campaign for Jewish outreach. Did any of your family die in the Holocaust, in the Shoah?
I did. We had family die in the Holocaust. We did, and Holocaust is something that's sacred to me and my family. And
so when American TV hosts talk about Hitler, 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 fascist, 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 about a man elected by 63 million Americans.
About a man I know loves the Jewish people.
Who you've worked for.
The best friend to the state of Israel and the Jewish people we've ever had in office.
Whose son-in-law is Jewish.
Whose daughter's Jewish, whose grandkids are Jewish.
Who moved the embassy to Jerusalem after 26 years of presidents breaking their promise to do so twice a year.
Who signed an executive order combating anti-Semitism, signed the Just Act, making it easier for victims of the Holocaust to get restitution, signed the Holocaust Education Act, giving significant funds toward education of the Holocaust.
People say we've seen this before. You know, Nixon was called a Nazi, Bush and Reagan. I don't think this has ever been that bad.
They're just crazy. And that's why like only 20 people watch that you know stupid program. But Donny Deutsch, wait, maybe Donny Deutsch is getting a little too much sun. His little makeup. What's going on over there, Donny? Okay. Also, today, was that shirt from Baby Gap? Can we put that back up? Yeah, can we put Donny Deutsch, just Donny Deutsch back up?
We don't need more Donny Deutsch.
Okay. But they are so misguided.
But
they're
a normal
so
human
deluded.
Being doesn't do that, Bart. A normal human, no matter what your politics are, normal adult doesn't do that.
They're spitting out talking points. That's all that is. Yeah. That's just a talking point. So some idiot
made
wrote
a decision.
Up fascist. They fed it to these, and they're just like the Anchorman. You know, like the movie Anchorman. Good. Stay classy, San Diego. You know? Ron will read whatever you put in the teleprompter.
That's the real Ron.
That's what these are. This is just a bunch of Ron Burgundies. They've got no brain. They've got no feelings. They've got no honesty. They've got no authenticity. And you know what? I'll tell you this.
What?
Tell you this.
He's getting serious now.
I've seen Donny Deutsch around. And I've known Donny actually a long time. And he's always been nice enough to my face. Next time I see him, I'm going to ask him. Wherever maybe. Maybe Cipriani in New York at a restaurant where I saw him a couple of months ago before COVID.
The Palm.
The Palm, maybe. Whatever it is. I'm going to say, Donny, here I am. I'm Jewish. My family's all Jewish. Why don't you call me a fascist to my face?
Oh, good for you.
I'm going to do it.
Good for you.
I said it right now. I said it today. What day is today? Today's September 24th.
You've got it, guys. Time markets. Time stamp it.
I said it today. Next time I see any of these people.
Yeah.
Any of them. Ham. Scarborough. I'm not going to deal with Mika Brzezinski, you know.
Fredo,
any of these people. They want to say that I, as a Jewish supporter of President Trump,
fascist.
As the co-chair of Jewish Voices for Trump, as a descendant of my grandfather who fought the Nazis day in and day out and had more courage and more bravery in a shed of his fingernail than these people will ever have in their whole lives. They want to call me and my family, who are all Trump supporters, fascists. Well, they should do it to my face.
The gauntlet has been thrown. Officially today, the Baron has got serious there.
And you know what they're going to do?
Nothing.
They're cowards. Well, he's this and he's that. on TV, you said that President Trump and his supporters are fascists. Call me a fascist.
Yeah. They weren't. They're in their basements. Talking of basements, what is the connection, Boris, between Daffy Duck and the former vice president of the United States? I need to know this.
Hold on. It is. On my watch.
Your lovely White House Brightling.
My White House Brightling. Nice. It is 1312 military time. 1312. Okay? Right now, it's 1:12 p.m.
East Coast.
Somewhere in deep, dark, damp Delaware right now, Joe Biden is napping. The connection is this. The connection is for about the 10th time in the last 12 days, and I'm being a little facetious here, but not too much, Joe Biden's campaign called a lid, a full lid, which means no events before 10 o'clock.
Let's read it. This is what you retweeted. We'll explain the reference to Donnie Duck. So Sam Stein, one of your favorite campaign officials, Daily Beast journalists. Of course, it's the Daily Beast who's reporting from the Biden campaign. He tweets this out at 10 a.m. Okay, 10 a.m. morning. People, Biden is doing debate prep. That's why he's calling lids, because that's a cool phrase.
Sam Stein's a journalist, right?
Quote, right.
Read that one more time, please.
People, 10 a.m. today. Biden is doing debate prep. How do you do that in your sleep? That's why he's calling lids. It's not that complicated. So his campaign officially, about 9-something this morning, said that there will be no Biden campaign events because he's not available starting at 10:30 in the morning. And then you retweeted a lovely little gif of Daffy Duck going to bed, journalists dropping any pretense of objectivity and acting as sleepy Joe Biden's communications arm. This is Joe Biden's debate prep. And here we have a nice little cartoon of Daffy going to bed. Isn't this embarrassing? I mean, if you're running a campaign, would you even make the formal statement that you're closed for the day at 9:30 in the morning?
It just looks bad. What they probably could do, what they should do, is say, you know, here's the schedule. Biden is, and just put debate prep on the schedule.
Right. But to say we're shutting off contact for the day.
And then it's really embarrassing on several levels. It's so embarrassing for Sam Stein. I mean, you're supposed to be a journalist. I get it. You know, you love the left. I get it. You're a far left lib. You know, that's okay. And God bless you. It's a free country. It's a free country. Okay. But please. Just please, you don't know that Joe Biden is doing debate prep. Even if they told you that, you don't know it.
He's making excuses for the campaign.
He's acting as the campaign's communications arm. By the way, Biden said that he was only going to start debate prep today. So what happened to all the other lids? Was that also the... So just, Sam, please. And I like Sam. Matt said before, he's a nice guy. Nice guy.
You're so polite.
Nice enough guy, sure. Nice enough guy. Just, come on, man. The same thing when Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed, and I don't mean to harp on Sam Stein. He tweets out, "I've been drinking wine for hours, but here are my thoughts."
Not a good idea.
I tweeted him, maybe.
I saw that.
When talking about a passing of an American icon and the Supreme Court, maybe stay away from drinking. Or if you are drinking, stay away from tweeting. It's a bore, you're no fun. I said, actually, I have a pretty good time. We've been, you know, you and I have had dinner together. We've had lunch. I like to have a nice time. Just, I think if you're a journalist opining on something that's a very sad event in the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and something that's historic, the next Supreme Court justice being nominated and confirmed, don't booze up. Stay away from the liquor.
What was Roseanne's excuse?
I don't know what...
What she had? Ambien. Don't tweet after you've taken Ambien.
Just don't tweet any. No Ambien, no liquor. Just if... I've been known to enjoy a cigar, which we did not talk about right now.
We did not. To get back what to. Happened? We had no 15-minute cigar intro.
I've been known to enjoy a cigar just like you. I've been known to enjoy single malt scotch. But you know what happens?
It has been rumored.
There's rumors.
Rumors.
But you know what happens when I'm enjoying a cigar?
You don't.
Scotch?
You put the phone.
I put the Twitter away. Okay. I know enough. I don't know a lot. I'm not the smartest guy on earth.
Wise
okay.
Man.
I'm Epstein, wise not man. Einstein. But I know enough that the Twitter goes away. Speaking of.
What?
I had a wonderful cigar last week.
See how he did that? I mean, that was smooth. What was it?
Within COVID rules, I stopped by my cigar club, the Casa de Monte Cristo that I told you about on 19th Street upstairs. It was a Wednesday evening, and I had one of the Casa de Monte Cristo A.J. Fernandez cigars.
Okay.
Who's like a master blender, and he's got gorgeous, beautiful.
Really? Full-bodied?
Full-bodied, Churchill, and a really, really wonderful smoke. I may or may not have had a couple of drinks to go with it.
But the phone was put down.
The phone was put down. No tweeting. The public phone. Yeah, sure. Because I talked to some friends, but there was no tweeting. But I will tell you, the cigar was immaculate. But that was Wednesday. I didn't have one over the weekend.
You better be ready in a month's time. I'm having a little party in a cigar, private cigar location.
Oh, a disclosed location?
For my 50th.
What, your 50th birthday's coming up?
Yes.
When is it?
October 22nd.
That's your birthday?
Yeah.
It's going on the schedule right now.
The eve of the Hungarian Revolution. But it will be the following Sunday in an undisclosed, very nice...
I have it right here.
Good man.
Gorka birthday.
Your sources.
There you go.
Sources. No flies on bars. All right. Sunday after, we are going to have cigars together.
Yes.
All right. Finally, we're going to have cigars.
We're going to have... How many?
I've already bought... I'm not joking. I went to my local purveyor of my favorite cigar. I broke my credit card. I bought 40 big, fat 65-gauge cigars. We're going to wrap them in beautiful little birthday ribbons. I'm going to put birthday bands on them, and everybody helps himself.
That's wonderful.
Stop staring at me, Shad. You'll get an invite, too, okay? We'll let you out of your cage.
Shad, you get
just
to come
for one, well, just for one chicken wing. One buffalo wing. Okay, one buffalo wing and a little puff of a cigar.
I'm staring at you.
You better be back
you.
From your little holiday, okay?
Yeah, of course.
Your one-day holiday.
Of course.
So we're doing this on a Sunday.
Hang on. He's talking to us. What is this man babbling about now?
All right.
Yes.
We can all say everybody here is 100% sober, right?
Right now,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Then why did you mix up famed Looney Tunes icon and famed Disney icon Daffy and Donald Duck? You called Donald Duck Daffy Duck.
I had this thing in my thing. I was like, that's Donald Duck, right? I did it with the... You know what it is?
What?
It is the Sesame Street Muppets curse.
It is.
From last Friday.
The pop culture icons are just something that's not working. It's just working.
You know why? I'm not watching enough cartoons.
Got to get back to it.
I got to get back to cartoons. I got a DVD of the original G-Force cartoon movie yesterday, so I'll be doing a little bit of manga, Japanese sci-fi at the weekend, but I got to get back to my Ducky Daffy distinctions. Thank you. We will allow you out of the cage for an extra 30 minutes.
Extra 15 minutes.
That was a little much.
You got too nice.
I went all Boris. I went all nice.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Talking of debate prep.
Oh,
you must know this, but I have to check. Do you know who is playing? This is the most hilarious news I've had this week. It's really quite amusing. Who is pretending to be Vice President Pence for Kamala Harris's debate prep?
Tell me.
I know something Boris doesn't know about politics. That's impossible. He doesn't know.
I don't know.
Have a guess. I'll give you three guesses. Three guesses. Who is playing Vice President Mike Pence, one of the most upright, serious politicians in American history?
I did see this.
You did? I knew you'd seen it.
Ron Klain? No. One of the most serious politicians. Who's their biggest joke?
Smallest joke. The smallest joke.
Bloomberg?
Close. Last guess. Close.
Smallest. Who's tiny? Who's really small?
You'll get it. If you think long enough, you'll get it.
Okay. Well, I don't want to be boring the listeners here. Okay, let's go through it. Is it a politician?
Yes.
Is it an elected official?
Yes.
Governor?
No.
Senator?
No.
Congressman?
I'm going to give it away. No.
A federal official or state official? It's a fun
neither.
Game. Neither federal nor state.
You've got to get it now.
Who's small?
Should I put him out of his misery?
Yes, go on.
Boot Edge. Oh!
All right, I'm out of here.
Boot Edge will be Vice President Pence. Is that not the funniest thing?
What? How'd they come up with that? Just because I guess they're both.
The last one who was prepared to do it. I don't know.
Is it because they're both from Indiana, I guess?
It's just, isn't that so funny?
Oh,
because that'd be a really good prep for Kamala.
Oh, I'm sure. You know what? I'm going to say this right here. The Biden-Harris campaign continues to impress me.
Have you seen the new bumper stickers?
Were there? No.
Harris Biden. It's Harris Biden.
Is that true?
No, it's a meme. It's a good meme.
I saw that.
Yeah.
The Harris Biden-Biden-Harris-Harris-Biden-Biden-Harris campaign continues to absolutely astound and to impress
and
me.
Amuse, and amuse.
No, but I'm so impressed with just how stellar, how stellar and amazing.
You
and
have to laugh.
I mean, they are just so strong. Who came up?
It's Mayor Pete.
I mean,
you can't stop her now. Mayor Pete will prepare her.
That's it. Mayor Pete is
the president is toast. The vice president is toast. Just give up now. Go back to Wall Street, Barron. Just hang up your spurs. Get out the single malt. Get out the cigars. And put your phone away.
I don't know, man. I wonder. Was that? Do you think was that a General O'Malley decision? Was that a who decided that that was a good idea? Was
who's
that,
running? Who's running Kamala's campaign?
Well, she doesn't have. She shouldn't have a separate one. I mean, the campaign manager
or staff.
Jennifer O'Malley Dillon, and then you've got.
Oh, I hear that. What's his face is very influential with the Biden's campaign. Blinken,
who?
Tony Blinken. Remember Blinken?
That guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
maybe not on the payroll.
The Democrats, as ever. Have a bunch of
that kind of tells you everything, doesn't it?
The Democrats, as ever, have a bunch of total in quotes stars. I mean, let's not forget Robbie Mook.
What did you call the DNC?
Dumpster fire.
Roll out the loser. Roll out the losers.
It was the loser night. Yeah. That was loser night. We had John Kerry, Hillary Clinton. They're the losers. Surprised Howard Dean didn't make it. So. The Democrat operative, you know, it's usually there's this thing about operatives. People in politics don't hit other operatives, okay? You just got to stay away from it.
Yeah. Except Boris.
Well, except that this election. Come on, man. What are they? These guys. Where do they find these people? I mean, Kate Bedingfield, terrible, terrible spokeswoman for Biden. General O'Malley Dillon, what is she thinking?
What about that guy who was asked whether by Brett Baird, is he using a teleprompter?
TJ Ducklow, I think.
Ducklow. And he said, I'm not going to respond to, what did he say, Fox News talking points?
No, he said.
Or GOP.
TJ Ducklow
yes.
said that Brett Baer is a shill.
He said
for Republicans and Donald Trump. Maybe where Ducklow was. By the way, Ducklow is also an AE Pi brother, just like I am. So I guess we're the same fraternity. Some of the guys in the fraternity said, oh, look at you guys both, senior KBS. Okay, first of all, okay.
Please,
let's keep it real, all right? Okay? One of us in politics. The other one is just playing games that can't even get his mind right on TV. This guy Ducklow goes on Brett Baer on Fox News. First of all, I don't know how that booking happened. Second of all, maybe wherever he was, he didn't see who he was talking to. But this is Brett Baer. Okay.
Yeah. Brett Baer, who's not exactly. Oh, look, Brett Baer, you can put him in two boxes. Straight shooter, not exactly a fan of the president.
Correct.
The Venn diagram is decent journalist, not exactly MAGA.
Right.
And he's going to be called what?
I think he said he was a shill
for the GOP.
For the GOP and President Trump. If anybody has been in politics, forget for years, forget for months, forget for weeks, for days. And they know anything about anything. They know that Brett Baer is not a shill for Republicans, yeah. Okay? But when you're a Democrat operative and you get that job on the presidential campaign, I mean, Andrew Bates is another one. I mean, these guys are tweeting. I think it was the head of one of their social media gurus was tweeted out a video of Joe Biden completely refusing to engage with the American public. Refusing to disclaim and disdain the hateful narratives in his own party, and said this is just wonderful to see. I mean, some of these operatives so bad that they are amplifying the horrific gaffes of Joe Biden.
So
dumpster fire.
I'm going to describe you. I'm going to do an elevator pitch on the Barron. Okay. So, by the way, you are listening to the Battle for 1600 podcast. The audio drops every Thursday.
Yes.
The video on YouTube every Saturday. Now, early 8 a.m. for our buddies who have to listen to it when they go to work. Please subscribe to both. Write a little review on the podcast app you're using. Subscribe and hit the notifications bell twice on YouTube to the podcast and to our show, America First, where the Barron appears every week live. And don't forget to follow him.
I am the Barron.
Boris EP. BreakfastWithBoris.com, former special assistant to the president, also strategic advisor to the Trump campaign, and co-chair of the Jewish Voices for Trump. Did I get that right?
Co-chair. Yes, you did.
Right. He's checking strong, me. He's fact-checking.
Strong
my co-host.
Word. Let me double check. Yes.
And also I, Sebastian Gorka. Seb Gorka on Twitter, S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A. Also on Facebook, on Instagram, and the web page is S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com. So here is the Baron. This is who the Baron is. If this is the first time for you to tune in, join us every week. The Baron is a political beast who is melded with an amateur historian of renown.
Renown.
With a just fabulous story of immigrant patriotism. Do you like that?
I thought that was wonderful.
Was that nice?
That was
okay,
wonderful.
We'll get you a new business card with a fold-out for three angles.
Renown.
With that perspective, because you've got the history thing and you've got the politics thing, here's my question. As just, you know, let's put myself here as an observer for a second. Yes, the Democrat Party has gone extreme. Yes, the radicals have taken over. But there's no eighth-dimensional Star Trek chess game that they want to lose the election. Of course they want to win. So where are, or what has happened, to the people like Boris on the other side? Where are the rational political professionals? Because all I see are wacky crazies and kids who have no idea what they're doing.
Right.
Has everybody else just disappeared or retired or given up? What's your sense?
Well, here's a name that comes to mind. To me, Paul Begala comes to mind. Right? Paul Begala, a Catholic, Georgetown, somebody who's been involved with Georgetown, my alma mater. Somebody who's a pragmatist, right?
Yeah. Not a crazy. Not a crazy.
Where's he?
Well, he's just doing media hits. That's
just doing media
hits. For himself.
He's out there. He's got a business. He doesn't want to get involved.
But why?
He doesn't want to get involved.
Where have these people gone?
Because most of them are out there trying to make money, right? And then they just don't really want to deal with this. They don't want to deal with the mess, I think, that today's Democrat
because
Party
they've
is.
Seen what it's turned into.
Right. And you know, there's also been, and deservedly so partially, this big pushback and really a lurching against the Clinton years.
Yeah.
And most people who have been around Democrat politics for a long time. It's not like they're Dukakis people, right? Most of them are Clinton people.
Now, this is interesting. Did you watch I'm going to admit this now on my own podcast that I co-host. I watched the Clinton documentary, the miniseries, okay?
I watched it.
Okay, my wife goes to bed super early. I'm up till about 2 or 3, so I decided to watch it. And it was really fly on the wall. I mean, it was at least, 9 months of the campaign, following her around. You saw her arrogance. You saw her indiscretion.
Oh, the Hillary Clinton one.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about the Bill Clinton presidency one. No, I didn't watch that one.
All 4 episodes for my sins. And you know what's fascinating? I mean, it was a real kind of insight into how deeply flawed and bitter that woman is, even before she lost. But for almost every inside fly-on-the-wall footage, she was surrounded by kids, Boris. There were very few people of her age advising her. Could that be part of the problem?
Well, her age, with respect.
No, that's fair. That's a fair comment.
You know, you generally would not have a campaign staffer.
No, but I'm talking about even the advisors. When they're having the murder boards, they're sitting down, they're prepping for a debate. They're kids there usually, which is weird. Or people under the age of 45.
Yeah, politics is a younger person's game. The problem with Hillary Clinton and her staff was, frankly, I don't know what she was thinking, choosing Robbie. And Robbie is probably a nice enough guy. Robbie is a campaign manager. Why not go to Paul Begala, right? Why not go to somebody who is seasoned? Even Jennifer Palmieri, the comms director, seems to have been more seasoned than Robbie Mook was.
Right?
But that's just not the way she did it. Now, she had John Podesta as the chairman of the campaign, and seemingly he was the one running it. But they all ran it into the ground. You know, the problem with Democrats is not just that they have the staff work is bad, but there's just a lack of understanding of America.
Yes.
There's a lack of understanding of anything that's beyond a very small bubble of these idiots that you showed cuts off talking.
It's become a party of the elite.
Yeah. It's an echo chamber of Oh, he's the worst. Oh, isn't he the worst? Oh, he's the worst. You know, to my other president. That's all they think of. And then they think everybody believes that. But, I mean, maybe they don't turn on the TV and they see the huge crowds gathered for the president.
They don't understand how a Chrysler worker,
right,
who's been a Democrat, right, all his life, right, is now voting for the president.
Correct.
They have no idea.
They do not understand, nor do they want to understand, how Americans really, truly think. They don't want to understand how Americans truly feel in their gut about this country, about our leadership. And it goes back to, you know, I mentioned earlier about this thing with Vladimir Lenin and his dying wish. But really, it permeates the left today, this sort of string of socialism and communism. It permeates, and it's a feeling, they have a feeling of, we know better.
Yeah.
The Democrats have a feeling of, we know better. Just like Lenin and the communists thought that they knew better than the workers and the...
But this isn't just arrogance, Boris. Let me jump in. This isn't just arrogance.
It's much more dangerous than arrogance.
Because it's not just arrogance. If you look at the last 4 years, it feeds into their concept or their attitude that not only are you stupid, because you're stupid and you didn't choose the candidate we worked for, we're not going to recognize the results of the election. Because we're having all this discussion now about, the president's not going to recognize the results if he loses.
Right.
Boris, for the last 4 years, the Democrats didn't recognize the will of the people.
Absolutely not. Absolutely
not. And that's lethal for the Republic.
The Democrats not only did not have not recognized it, they have tried to spread rumor after rumor after rumor. And they've gone after the president and people, including me, and they've claimed that we are somehow anti-American. Again, this all goes back to dirty, disdainful, far-left approach, policies, playbook. That's what they're doing. You lose, you don't admit to a loss, you just try to assassinate the character.
It's Zelensky. It's the politics of political assassination.
It's what it is. It's the far left playbook.
Character assassination.
Character assassination. Right. And trying to debase and weaken the American system to gain power. That's what the left wants to do. You look at BLM, you look at Antifa, you look at what they're trying to do, you look at the actions of trying to prevent a Supreme Court justice from being nominated. That is absolutely targeted at weakening the American political system. Because the political system as is gives voice to the people of Pennsylvania.
Outside of LA, to the people, New York, exactly, and Boston.
Gives voice to people in Michigan. Gives voice to Iowa, Montana, Nevada. You go across the country. Ohio, Pennsylvania, North Carolina. I already said it. Arizona. That's the beauty of the American political system. But the way the left wants it is that just some people sitting somewhere in Brooklyn, okay? Not the cool Brooklyn.
Chappaqua,
or, Cobble Hill, or wherever it is, not Bensonhurst, Brighton Beach, Sheepshead Bay, Manhattan Beach. Not the people that I grew up around that you've come to know, but the fancy people living with their fancy backyards and in the gentrified neighborhoods.
The Chardonnay sippers.
That's who they think should decide the future of America. But
exactly.
What? That's never going to happen. Because America at its base, America at its core, is opportunistic. It's strong. It's determined. And it is going to bowl over all these losers who are bitching and whining and moaning on TV. And I want to say one thing, since we brought up New York, I had the pleasure of seeing my good friend Andrew Giuliani yesterday. We've seen some of the stories out there, and I'm going to go on the record right now that I really hope and wish that Andrew runs for mayor of New York in 2021 and wins the mayoral race.
Wow. That's
everything I can.
A little news there.
It's been in the news. He's on record that he's been that's something that's been in the discussion, and that there's a potential run there.
Okay.
That's been in the news. But I'm right here on the record that if that happens, if my friend Andrew Giuliani were to run, I will do everything I can possible to make him the next mayor of New York.
See, we haven't even won the election, God willing, and he's already planning his future. That's the man. That's the Baron. That's Boris. Follow him on Twitter, Boris EP. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Seb Gorka on Twitter. That's already 3/4 hour, Boris. It's
Can
nuts.
You believe that?
No.
Well,
last message.
Last message is
to the listeners and viewers.
The message of hope. We are in a hopeful time. I do want, even before I go to that, I want to again express my condolences to the family of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. You know, there's a, I always have a sadness when an icon passes, of the right or the left, somebody that I grew up around and hearing. It just means that generations are passing, and there's a sadness to that. And in the end, you know, the hateful people on the left who are marching and saying her name, they didn't know this person. It's, this is someone's mother, grandmother. You know, this is somebody that people, who people are going to miss. So, God rest her soul, and I want to send my condolences. And be, so, the, and full stop there. I want to wish Americans hope. I want to leave them after they listen to this podcast with optimism. The polls are moving toward President Trump. President Trump is gaining on the sad, pathetic Joe Biden, and he's now at about 50%, I think, for like 9 straight days on Rasmussen. President Trump is winning this race. Joe Biden is losing this race. And when you and I talk next, it'll be after that first debate next week, and you better believe that Joe Biden, whether he's got some secret teleprompter or not, is going to get taken to the woodshed. Okay? So, Joe,
take that to the bank.
You better, they better pump whatever it is they pump into your ass a couple times, as the president said. Okay? A couple of those shots, and you go and have a good time, because President Trump is going to crush you in that debate next week.
Okay. You should have seen the if you're not watching on YouTube, you should have seen the twinkle in his eye when he talked about where the polls are right now. That's because of you guys. Thank you for being loyal supporters, not only of this podcast, but of the president and the MAGA agenda. Yes?
Text MAGA to 88022. Go to vote.donaldjtrump.com. Support the president. Get registered to vote. Tell all your friends. Knock on doors. Let's win this thing on November 3rd.
People always say I do it too quickly when I do stuff like that. One more time.
Text MAGA, M-A-G-A, to 88022. Go to vote.donaldjtrump.com. Support the president. Let's win this thing big on November 3rd.
God bless. Thank you, Boris. I'm Sebastian Gorka. You've been listening to The Battle for 1600.